questions on these handouts. Okay, let's start with, we're on the very top where it says Hatfasas Sefarim Kaidim Shenismalu Loimem Shanim. This is an historical piece. Today we live in a world of desktop publishing. Ish Hayosha bin Avyasa, anyone who wants to publish can just go on the computer, write whatever he wants, and print it up. There's no one holding anyone back today from publishing a safe, from publishing a book, from having a blog. And if you're a little savvy in marketing, you can get a nice audience, followers, tweets, likes. But it used to be years ago, hundreds of years ago, when not everyone who had the koyach, not everyone was, it wasn't a free-for-all. And it records over here that there was a ban on people publishing Sfarim before the age of 40, no matter how smart you are. Let's see what it says. Hatfasas Sfarim Kodim Shnismalu Loimem Shanim. Beshut Shuva Me'ava. Heviu Hevi Kruz Shnisparse Bechilas Prag Bechasim Aspal Hanoide Behudu Beistin. Okay, so the Noide Behudu was not all that long ago. When was Noide Behudu exactly? In the 17th century?
Yes.
Later, maybe?
No, later.
Later, 18th century? 18th century. Okay, so the Nodibut in his time in Prague, he writes that there was a proclamation that what was the proclamation? Being that there is a prolification of Sforim in Halacha and Maisa, and people are hasfarim mispashtim ba'olam, the garmim michshal. Some of the sfarim that are being published are not 100% correct. People, it's a stumbling block for some people. They're learning the wrong things. Kikama moitziim la'ar. Kikama, I think, what does that stand for? I think member of means moitziim la'ar. Asher ba'yaros ein lohem chich litaim ulahavchin be'etzem hadavar. There are many people who don't have a palate, do not have proper taste in what's good and what's not good. Anything that is published, you can rely upon. Enactment that no person has permission to publish a sefer until he is at least 40 years old. Maybe by then, halacha sefer, okay, halacha lemais, okay. Barak hasher yimlu lo yavarim shan bina, when he has achieved 40 years, it says in Perek, lebina, also reshus mesunu liyadu lefarsim chidushav bitfus im bar hochiu, if he's capable. We would say upon the mishpat, okay, look how far the ban goes. The ban goes that you should not give a haskama. Not everyone's going to listen to this enactment of not publishing. There are people that will publish anyway. Fine. But don't at least encourage them by giving them a haskama on their sefer. Latfisam kasher reitzi legoid marin harav Mordechai ben marin harav tzvi hirsch zechet levrocha l'chai olam haba avbezdin dekilas kedilu kedosha lisa beaktamos l'sefer amudei olam shel darshan kedilu kedosha. I don't know what he's referring to, which these are. Aval shechibar harav marin harav shmuel bar marin harav azriel zal shekasa b'loshan haskama bezeh haloshan. Ushaor chiburim hevi lefonai hanagel ledina v'loyrotzisi la'ayin b'chem kiamarti av shehu abe chachma. Other things have been brought to me, even though I've seen this person abe chachma rach b'shanim who adayin lagil lechlal mem.
So he wrote that into haskama.
He wrote that about other people, about this person. Like the later part. Okay, so we see over here such a concept.
This absolutely makes sense.
Good morning. Good morning. You take one of these. What?
It makes a lot of sense. You have young guys.
Of course.
Go and they print something for the class project, and
then they publish it. And 20 years later, you think it's the Gadol Hadar.
This big gadol, and you don't know who went where, and that's
Milsima par me mishpat chazid legoyim rabbani sefarad zal shalei choshu lekach. Okay, the Sfaradim did not follow this enactment. V'loy nimnu losei saskana l'sev paiskim shechi b'chacham l'shupachas m'memshan. They did not hold back. V'nir dat haimam shahamarbitz toiro lo yismech l'gam gala sefer shalei subsak. Im lo yisa v'yitin b'inin b'chol sefer yapoistim. Because people are not going to rely. Everyone knows today that just because you have a new sefer published does not mean it's reliable. People have enough seichel to analyze the sefer and to study the source themselves before they come to conclusion. They have muskam ledaitim mipis svarim mipis seifrim yoredin. You'll only rely upon things that are reliable. Okay, so this is very much nagi halachah l'maaseh b'zman hazeh. Today people do whatever they want. A lot of things are published, and you got to be very careful what you rely upon for piskei halacha. Look, yeah.
Publishing is not so much the problem as marketing it.
Marketing, okay.
It doesn't get around.
Well, today, I never heard of it. I never understood this expression. In certain groups, they ask a question: did he give out svarim? Someone once asked me about a person. Oh, this Talmud Chacham. I heard this already. It took me a few times to understand what they were saying. Like yeshiva. Oh, who is this person? Oh, yeah, it's a Talmud Chacham. He's a rav. He's a pesek. Did he give out svarim? So I thought he meant that he published a sefer. So I said, yeah, no. Okay, happened again. A second time, a third time, they asked me about a certain verse. Did he give out svarim? Finally, it hit me. What is this expression, did he give out svarim? Until I understood that today when you publish a sefer, no one's going to buy it. Who's going to buy it? You go into a svarim store. Okay, on the table, I heard Beagle Eyes, and they specialize in new and reprints. So he claims that he gets in a week sometimes 60 to 80 new svarim or reprints appear in the store every week. That's amazing. Now, who's buying these things? Who's going and buying 60 to 80 new svarim? Truth is, very few people. So if you want your save, unless you're a superstar, you're a celebrity, okay, you're going to go sell, you're going to be on New York Times bestseller list, you're not going to sell. So what do people do? They write a safer, they basically, they give it out. That's what
they do is they send it to you in the mail.
No, they don't even do that anymore. They stop doing that because it's a loss. They don't do that. You publish a sefer, you print 1,000 copies, and you basically give it out for free. You give it out to your friends and your family. Who's going
to
buy it? Unless you're a legend, you're a superstar, you're a famous person, it's not going to sell. And you feel good. You feel, I wrote, these are my I want to leave over some of my Torah in this world, besides my children, my grandchildren. This is my contribution to the Olam HaTorah. And in fact, they give it back. I know someone that published the Sefer. And the biggest covet he got out of publishing the Sefer was Oitzer HaChochma accepted it and incorporated it into the database. It's a big gedulah. Because that way, Otzah Chachma, that's the biggest collection today of
Hebrew books takes anything.
Hebrew books is all, anything in Hebrew books is already, is Kemad is on Otzah Chachma, if I'm not mistaken. Otzah Chachma incorporates, they have... No, they publish. People publish, but it's Oitzah Chacham. It's now in the database. It's becoming, if not already, the most popular database of Sfarim for the Torah Olam to. If you have anything you want to look up, you can search. You'll find it there. So you give out Sfarim. No one's going to buy the Sefer. Yeah, literally. Oh, he's a Talmud Chacham. He wrote a Sefer. He wrote a sefer and he gave it out to all of his friends and family. They'll put on Beagle Eyes in the 10 copies, 5 copies. Maybe someone has an interest in this type, in this topic, in this field, has expertise, so they'll want the sefer.
The books
but you have to be careful. On the other hand, they'll sell. On the other hand, you have to be careful. Look, the Ramah was nifter. He was 33 years old when he was nifter.
What?
Okay, the Ramah.
Some disagree with that.
There's something who's a little bit older.
Yeah,
how much older could he have been? 40s. 30s, in the 40s. So, you know, if you're not going to publish when you're young, if you're not going to publish when you're young, you're not going to publish when you get older. So it's either now or never. Many people, when they're young, they're in Kollel, they have an opportunity, they write to certain Rosh Hashivas. They're busy the whole day with fundraising. They're busy the whole day. They'll say, oh, they wrote this sefer. You don't even know they wrote this. What did they write this sefer? They were 25 years old. They were 30 years old. Okay, so that was the time they had to devote to learning Torah. So what's so terrible today of putting out your chidushim when you're 25 years old? By the time you're 40 years old, you have five kids. You don't. There's no day. There's no night. You don't have time to sit down and even think about learning. So definitely the style has changed.
And I realized, I remember when Shimon Ida came into the basement of Shokovitz Chaim with his manuscript.
Yeah.
He gave it to Rapenach to read. And he got up the next day, he went through it. He got up from the whole yeshiva,
yeah,
and he said, I just want you to know, because he was trying to give chizuk to the boys, what you could become. And he said, I read a sefer from this young guy, he was in his 20s, and he said, this is incredible for a guy that age. And he just told everybody that this is a tremendous halacha sefer. It was under 3 weeks that time. And the various things that he wrote. The Shabbos. And he gave it, he said right away, this is incredible for a person this age.
Henoch Leibowitz, the Rosh Hashiva, the Rosh Hashiva. I'm a Shimon Eider. Okay, let's go to next.
This is what you could all become.
Let's jump down to where it says Chavdal Amabes Kisui Haroy Shabi Arusa. What? The aliens? No. I'm not. Okay, let's do things that are more on target. Let's jump down to the bottom. Chav Dalid Omid Beis. Kisui Haroy Shbarusa. Okay, does a married woman, does she need to cover her hair? So during, let's say, for Tzila, for Shas Tzila Chara, of course, all opinions, right? There's no one that's going to argue with that. But what about a single girl? Does a single girl need to cover her hair? So you can bring a raya from the daf. What does it say over here? B'shut Maria Levi, because of Shemureses. Asuro Leilich Begilirish. Let's not forget, let's not talk about a single. Let's talk about a woman who's an Arusa. An Arusa means a woman that's between the Erisin and the Nisuin. Okay, today we don't, today we do it in one shot. The Erisin and the Nisuin is done in one shot. But listen to Tamar Chazal. When a woman had Erisin, a man gave her Kesef Kiddushin, she's fully married, but she's not allowed to live with her husband until they make the Kenyan of Nisuin. And Tamar Chazal, there was a year delay between the Erisin and the Nisuin. Does an Arusa cover her hair during that period of time? Beshut Maria Levi Kosav Shemudeses Asuli Lech Begilu Erosh Vachinoktu Gam Beshut Krebikiv Ege Bechavasyor with Mishnah Brewers of Behandul Chiddish. Then Arusa is also forbidden to go Begilu Erosh. Now this has a hanafmin Allah Lamaisa, that's why there are some customs, it's not that common, where at the wedding, ever see this? A kala at her wedding will already be wearing a head covering.
But the Hasidim.
By certain groups, they're ready because she's no worse than an Arusa. She's no worse than an Arusa from the time when he says Harat Mikudesh Asli. An Arusa also requires that her hair be covered. It's not, but this is the Nechanami. He brings over here that many places can say this should be done. It's not common among the Lita Shoyla. Now, what is the Raya to this? He said it comes from the Gemara. The Gemara, because it says in the Pasuk, Farah Esro Shalisha. The Sota comes into the Azara and the coin uncovers her hair. That means that when she comes in, her hair is covered. Why is her hair covered? She's coming into the Beis HaMikdash. Mm-hmm. So just to cover her hair, and so if it's a Makam Kodesh, if she's a Nesua, so a Nesua covers her hair when she comes into a Makam Kodesh. But a Penuya, a girl who's single, does not have to cover her hair when she comes into the Beis HaMikdash. But what does the Gemara say? Rai Lushitasa, Hevi Hamari, Halevi Mashalom to Bisugim in Pasuk, Sharusa Eina Shaisa, it says in the Gemara that an Arusa does not drink from the Mayim Hamarim. If a woman did not yet have Nisuin, and the husband warns her, I see that you're flirting with so-and-so, I don't want you to have kinah to be, you should have anything to do with so-and-so, she disobeys obeys his command. She has yichud, and they are witnesses. So it says in the Gemara, nevertheless, she does not drink from the mei hamadim. Tahara yemarusa in chayeves bekisui harosh. Why? Keitzad hayom legemara. Sad loymar, if an arusa does not, what's the Gemara? The Gemara has a drasha. The Gemara has a drasha. How we know that she does not drink from the mei seita? Why do we need to come on to a drasha? It's impossible to have kisui harosh because the pasuk says upara es roisha. He has to uncover her here. If an arusa does not, her hair is not covered by halacha. Halacha does not demand that her hair be covered. So you don't have, you cannot fulfill ufara asroisha isha. You can't fulfill that condition. So then she's not in the parish of sota. The harayim arus. If it's true that arusa in chayevis bekitzay rosh keitzad hayol gemar tzad, how could there even be a hava amina that an arusa drinks from the meis sota loyma sharusa shayts v'halay the parish of sota the nemar it says upara esroisha isha. V'chol she'ein roisha mechusa ein shayich, any woman whose head is not covered in shayich lefraya iso. Ela muchach shadavar zeh haya pashut, must then be that in a chanami in arusa, even though she did not yet live with her husband, and it was required to cover her hair, pashut. She'el gemara sharusa mechases roisha, v'kach l'chiyach gam b'kis, v'kach gam b'kis elio. Now, obviously, not, I don't know the details, but obviously there's a very big chiddush, because first let's discuss about a married woman. Let's talk about a married woman has to cover her here. What are the parameters? It's not so simple she has to cover her here. This is the Aruch HaShulchan. The only time a married woman Me'ikar HaDin has to cover her here is B'Shah Davar Shabikadusha, when she davens. Mm-hmm. Or when
she goes into
a room. So you have to then assume that the procedure entering into the Beis HaMikdash is a makom of kedusha. The procedure of them reading in front of her the Megillah, of reading her the parsha, the reading of the psukim is considered to be a davar shebekedusha that would require her to cover her hair, and that is not required a single girl to cover her hair. So the question now is, what about an arusa? She's somewhere in between. She's not a penuya. She's not a nesua. Does she have to require her here? Is the halacha required to recover here? So we will fulfill now ufara esroisha isha. So this is the right. The fact that Gemara entertains the possibility that an arusa indeed would be in the parish of sota, not for a specific drush in the Gemara, means that we would not, then she, otherwise she would be in the parish of requiring her by halacha to cover her here. So now when it says ufara esroisha isha, it would be fulfilled. Now, this is what he wants. However, it's not. There's always another side to the shaila. Ulam b'shulis Yaakov nakat. He disagrees. She'ein arusa chayeves b'kisui roisha, and that's why among the Litvish olam, it's extremely rare to see a woman, a kala, to come to the wedding with a head covering. It's very, very rare. So they have v'shut dei hashiv docha esarayim b'sugin. What about the Gemara? But it says to uncover here. Heyosh ein prias roish likuva uchemosh. Whoever told you that this that it says in the pasuk ufar es roish isha is to be taken literally? It's just not. First of all, it's not ma'akev. It's not repeated twice. If it's not repeated twice in the pasuk and it doesn't say in an expression, it's just a detail. And maybe this detail only happens to apply to a married woman. And even by a married woman, it doesn't mean that she's starting out with an obligation that she must. It just means something which was done, but it's not something which is a part of the halachic process. Kayotz bezeb should be a sev. It's cost of Shemasha Amar Hatayra Ufara Roisha Isha Hainu Besaita She Nesua Shalva Roiva Saita He Nesua. Most of the time the son is Nesua Ula Olam Arusa Shaisa. He disagrees with the Gemara's conclusion. He holds that an Arusa also drinks Afa Pish Ein Miskayin Bo Ufara. Her hair will not be uncovered. Acha kosem muchrach loyma shiase kin b'nesua. By nesua you must uncover here. Memele nidches harayim nesugin omnan b'marui halev kosem lidches yishav zeh v'ayayin b'stechavet shaykhav zeh. Okay, we'll leave it with that, all the various smart makamos. But it's just an interesting topic. La halacha does an arusa when you go to a wedding. This issue, if you'll ever notice, if you ever see a kala already has her hair covered at the time of the marriage, that's working with the Mishnah Brura, who is very machmir on this, that an arusa already has to have her hair covered. She's not the yichud. She's not the bia is not until after, until the next day. And therefore, many poskim say that until she's a full nesua, there are different dargos of nesua. Just because you have the kinyan of nesuin, and just because you have the yichud, but the yichud does not mean it doesn't mean they're living ish for ishtay 100%. It's just called a kinyan. A kinyan of nesuin is not enough to require a kala to cover her hair for the remainder of the wedding, and that's why 99% of the time you do not see a kala have her hair covered even after the yichud is over, because after the yichud is just a kinyan nisuin. It's a kinyan nisuin. It's a yichud that's rohoi libia, but she's not yet called a full nisuin until they live together. Mamish ish v'ishta. That's the heter why most kallahs not cover their hair. But other, you know, I remember when I was my friends were getting married, and I remember so there was this discussion of that there were some kallahs that cover their hair after the yichud. Not that they didn't did anything happen in the yichud room, but I guess there are poskim to have some middle ground that once you have a kinyan that's roi libya, the kinyan nisuin is complete with the yichud that's roi libya that makes her into a full fledged nisuin to the degree that requires her to cover her hair. But there are poskim that even more machmir that require her to cover her hair the moment after the chosin gives her the tabas. When the chosin gives the kala the ring and he says to her, "Harei at mikudeshesli betabazo kedas Moshe v'Yisrael," she's now a full fledged arusa. She's not yet a nesua until they make the sheva brachos. The nesuin takes place a little bit later, so then she's only an arusa. Narusa at that point in time, according to what he cited in the beginning of this tshuva and this section, already is chayiv to have her hair covered. So I want to point out there are three different madregos. There's the madrega of covering your hair after bia, which is very common. There's the madrega of covering your hair after the kinyan nesuin. The kinyan nesuin is complete after the cheder yichud. It's a yichud that's roi libya. And then there's a further madrega that you have to already cover your hair after you have erisin, which means under the chuppah, you have, okay, your boy's side, time out, I have to put on my sheitel. What?
Another
to put the sheitel on. You call the hairdresser.
When is it among Hasidic?
They do it before. So among the people
come in and cut the hair off.
No, so among the people who are makbid on this halacha, they already have their hair covered before they have them in the air. Before you walk down the chuppah, their hair already is covered. Yes. The Orach HaShulchan is only matter a woman not to cover her hair when she's not in a place of tefillah.
You go from that to be so strict that now you do it for all things.
Orach HaShulchan live in different place, different time, a different kufa, a different kihila. A different kihila, a different community, and a different time. A different time. Okay, that's a separate issue. Okay, let's go to...
You quoted the Mishnah Berurah.
Who is this community?
The Mishnah Berurah is Machmir, yeah. The Mishnah Berurah is Mashmir. Before the Chuppah. Yeah. That's what he says here.
After the Chuppah, after the Shabbat.
Okay, let's jump now to the most interesting topic of them all on this handout is, let's jump down to Chavav and Aleph Harigas Ubar Mamzer. What a shaila. Abortion. A woman is a married woman, an eishes ish. This is a shocking, shocking thing it says here, okay? Shocking stuff. A woman is an eishes ish. She has an affair. And she tells her husband, "I have good news. I'm pregnant. I got bad news. You're not the father." Okay? It happens, Rabbi Yitzchak. These are stories. It happens out there in the world. Okay? I'm pregnant, but you're not the father. So what does the husband say? Let's call the abortion clinic. Let's go for an abortion right away. Is it permitted? Now, abortion, b'chlal, having an abortion is a very complicated issue, which I have no knowledge, I have no ideas. I was once in a seminar where Rav David Cohen was talking about it, and he was saying that, and he just threw out the words, there are many situations where it's mutter for a woman to get an abortion. Okay, so let's not talk into situations. Obviously, I'm talking very theoretical. There are situations where a healthy woman with a child is allowed to get an abortion. There are definitely situations until a child is born, it's not halacha 100% to the child. Every situation is different. But let's talk about another issue, just focus on the situation where the child is a mamzer. Now think about the child's life. You're going to bring a person into this world that's going to have serious problems. His marriage prospects are going to be severely limited. Okay, we mentioned this. You want to be Matara moms. We had this whole discussion of marrying a shivcha and so on and so forth. So the solution is nip it in the bud. We'll just have an abortion. Now let's assume that under normal circumstances it would be osur. Make that assumption. And that's a pretty big assumption, because until a certain period of time it might be that it's mutter, whatever, let's put that aside and other complications. But let's assume for the moment that it would normally be osur. Is it a factor to take into consideration that may contribute to being mutter because the child is a mom's? So let's see what it says. Beshut Chaim Sho'al Nishal Benidon Eshes Ish Shenensa Vinis Abna. Notice here it says the situation was with Shenensa. Okay, she was raped.
Yeah.
Okay, this was not, it was against her will.
Right.
Vinisabra. So the child is still a mamzer. Just because it was against her will does not take away from the fact that the child is going to be a mamzer.
By a Jew or not?
A Jew.
Okay.
A Jew. By a non-Jew, then it's better.
Mamzer.
By, if it was a guy, then I don't think it's a mamzer. I think it's only a mamzer if it was by a Jew. So, Eishes, I'm not, maybe I'm wrong. I'm not sure. I think
you're wrong. I think you're right.
Okay. So Aisha Shenensa the Nisabra the Achaktsas Yamin Babala the Tulsa Bo the older. Now before we get to the abortion, that's the part that we want to discuss. He just talks about even a more bizarre situation when the baby is already born. Okay, that's already off the charts. When the baby is born, there's nothing to talk about. It's Ritzicha. Ritzicha mamish to kill a baby once the baby is born, even if he's a mamzer. Okay, you just we get it. We have to build up to the shaila. He talks about a situation where a woman indeed she had a baby. The baby she didn't tell her she was raped. She got pregnant. She had a baby. The husband thought he was the father, and the wife was going out of her mind. And the wife basically killed the baby. So she went to the Rav and said to the Rav, "Am I a rotzeach?" And he said, "You certainly are, and you need to do tshuva." Okay, so Bo Ba'alav Tulsa Bo, the Ba'al assumed that he was the father of Yodu, Ba'al Sava Shehu Bino, Achin Ne'encha, she went out of her mind. Ki Oidas Bebiru Shehu Mam, so that she knew that the baby was a mam, so Merov Sicha, the Cha'ata, the Chas in anger, Hinichasa Yamin Bli Yeniko Meis, she killed the baby. Okay, she starved the baby to death, she claimed it was a crib death, so on and so on. You can imagine what happened over here. Vihi Marla, and she could not live with herself. Vishala Haisha im Tsricha Kapar, she went to the Rav, she said, "What should I do? Mibne Shenema Bigamara, Shemamzer, Shaniyodea in Yochal Alach." Now this is a Gemara Mizakhni Yavamas, Shaniyodea in Yochalachas. This is a very mystical Gemara which we don't know what it means. The Gemara says that it's a haftach that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to kill Mamzerin. A Mamzer Sheena Yodua, okay, we don't know what this means. A Mamzer that's a secret Mamzer, Hashem will arrange it that the Mamzer will die, so that Klal Yisrael does not become polluted, contaminated with secret Mamzerin. All right, no one knows what this means. Okay, this is something that is off the charts. So therefore, she quoted this Gemara. She knew this Gemara, and she used this Gemara to her advantage, telling the Rav, "Listen, I didn't do anything in so bad anyway, because it says in the Gemara in Yevamos that a Mamzer, that's a secret Mamzer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu anyway is going to kill." So he told her, "Listen, you don't play around with this Gemara." She's a Rotzeach. She's Kapara Kevin Shavladze, Yisrael Ma'alihi, Michalim Alav Zashabis, you can Michal Shabbos to save him. Im Kain Vadai Shaosa, Ligram Lemisa, Voluchavitz Hashem Amisa, Mishum Shumamz, Shin Yedua. Hoy Hashem Amisa, it's none of your business what the Gemara says. The Gemara says Hashem takes care of the Mamzer, leave it to Hashem. You have no right to take the life of another human being. Ulam Lanu Osra, Afil Ligram Lemisa, Besim Drav Kosav, Zos Olam Minha Medaber. The following is my statement. Ki adavar poshut, ki isha zo tzricha kapara alhai shufa the bali on this creature. Shufa means this beautiful creature that has decayed in the earth. Usikabel sigufim vitaniyo, she has to afflict herself. she has to suffer, bring suffering upon herself, and fasting kifi koicha ukechol. They have turned to the right side of the page. She's now just jumped down to the right side. Asher yashus olav rav hamokayim ubeistinoi tebekia shamayu, which are clever, who have a good reputation, beruach binasam, with their insight. Yoytziu laor mishpat ania zo humia hi. I don't know what that means. Liashiv died. They should do some, find a solution to calm her down. Uchvoy lekim haster davar deloy tasty leishtar leish leist reshule. Okay, I don't know. They should do something right away. Whatever. Okay, fine. That's case as simple as can be. A woman has a mamzer. No one has a right to even indirectly cause the death of a living human being, even if that person is a mamzer. But here comes the big shaila, abortion. Oh, donu apoyskim imotu laharig ubar shu mamzer. So nidon zehuva bepischet shuva shehevi mechlachlekes hachav esyove hayayves. Now he's going to say here something that is utterly shocking. Bedvar ish esha se shohara liznunim v'yacher hamais nischarata. The nidla, the not no kula bibchi, not no kula bibchi. She cried, gam yoim gam laila, al titni fugas basania. She did not have respite from her tsar. Rak hayrida kenach al dima. She cried like a stream of tears. V'ticha roisha bekoisel ad kizoyv dama miroisha. She banged her head into the wall until she injured herself. V'gida labayla. The gam biksha mechacham she yisadu la tshuva kuchol asher yushalov taaseh rak asher chashosh shnis abra mimenu ba asher meos shenase hamaise psak posak vesta asher hoyu la tmidim kisidram biyoisa tachas ba'alo kam shanim holcha. So she did this at a time of whatever when she was in the nida. Holcha el chacham v'shalo loy im rashoyis l'gmoya dovar ma'avkas reicha l'shal shel zera hamukulkul asher bikirba. Okay, so she basically asked the Rav, is she allowed to have an abortion? She is afraid that she might be pregnant, and she wants to drink some potion which will cause the baby to die, in order the baby should not be born. So achavis yor heishiv she'osur lo laharoges u'ubar ha'mamzer ha'yoyish ha'din mamzer l'chol dover k'din yishol kosher v'aliyos dayin ha'godol b'chutz li'aretz rasha osur lo v'bikahal v'leishiv v'sanhedrin. He paskin, it is osur, a child, an ubar, a fetus that is a mamzer, is no different than a fetus of a regular Yisrael. The same rules of having an abortion for a regular Yisrael apply to an ubar that is a mamzer. Because, it says, because a mamzer can be a dayan, can be a poisei. The Gemara in fact says that you give more covet to a Talmud Chacham mamzer than a Kohen Gadol Am Haaretz. So you see that a mamzer can be high function life, can contribute to society. So it's forbidden. In fact, if he's a captive, he to redeem him. Now here's where we come to the shak. Rak she maharil kasa. We know from the maharil she'ein mevakshim lo v'rachim loy mar kaim hayel lazel be'esh molin oisod devade loy nichle. The only thing is a mamzer, you don't give him misha berach. Okay, by getting aliyah, you don't make a misha berach for a mamzer. That kaim es hayelad hazel lo av l'imo. I guess the father.
The real father. So what happens to the father? He doesn't get the...
He's chayiv misa, the father. Well, she's also chayiv misa. Now look what he says here. This is shocking. Ulam, hayayivet. So therefore, we have the chavis. The chavis here says, the mamzer has the same status as the regular Yisrael, and therefore nothing doing. Ulam, hayayivet, kosav shemutur. Look what it says here. Lechatchila, lahashchis uber mamzer me'eshes ish. If this one was mezana from an eshes ish, lechatchila, you're allowed to have an abortion. Lechatchila. Now what's the reason? Why? The Gemara. What's the Gemara say? Mitam sheisha bezvan shehayu sanhedrin belishkas hagazis hayu mechayvena samisa v'loy hayu mamtinin ad shetivo ad sheyivolate. If a woman was pregnant and she's a saita, she's pregnant. It's 3 months. This week's parasha, right? Tamar. This week's parasha. Tamar is pregnant. Hine hara liznunim hotziuha v'sisareif. But she's pregnant. They told Yehuda. They told Yehuda, your daughter-in-law Tamar is pregnant. She's 3 months pregnant. He says, take her out to execution. She's a zona. What, proof is in the pudding. What more do you want? Okay, it's there. She's a zona. So if a woman over here is a saita, we don't hold her back. We kill her right away. But you're killing the baby. What did the baby do wrong? The baby did nothing wrong. The baby is a mamzer. He'll live a productive life. He'll be
healthy, you know, he'll be
erchimon. Uba, that's what we say. So therefore, bisman hazeh, are we going to kill the mother? Certainly not. Bisman hazeh, have you ever seen in America anyone on death row for adultery? In America? Doesn't exist. What? In America?
Yeah. Unless the husband does.
There's no such thing in America, a woman on death row for adultery. Unheard of.
Service in Louisiana and Texas.
It would have to kill too many
women. Your wife with another woman to kill them both.
What?
It was legal. If you caught your wife with another guy,
yeah,
you could kill them both.
What? In America?
A private
America.
Individual.
Well, yeah,
service in the 60s. Yeah.
At the court.
Texas and Louisiana, you could kill them both.
No, what about Mississippi? No,
I don't believe
you.
No, really? Alright. Okay, Bisman Hazeh. Okay, Bisman Hazeh, there's no such thing, right? Bisman Hazeh, Bezin is not going to kill the mother. So if Bezin is not going to kill the mother, so why kill the baby? So you're going to kill the mother, so you're going to kill Uba Yerechimai. But Bisman Hazeh, you're not going to kill the mother, so what right do you have to kill the baby? So he says, no, since Me'ikar Hadin, look at this chid, this is the chid, unbelievable what the Ayavit says. All the Paiskim are shocked. They go into shock. What?
There is a current controversy about, let's say, a woman is murdered who is carrying a pretty well...
She's on death row?
There are... They can, in some states, they will charge you with murder. Two counts, that's right.
Oh, if the victim...
Even
the victim, okay, I've got an unborn child.
What if a woman is a rotzeah? He's a murderer.
There's not what?
It's a murder.
Nothing will happen to her. There's no death punishment. Without a Sanhedrin, we don't have death punishment. We don't have.
Would we kill her?
What? Yeah, they would. They would. Same thing. Yeah, of course. Same exact thing. Yes.
She appeals. It takes years.
No, you're talking about halacha. So over here, the Yavid says shemutur lechatchil that bezman hazeh since meikar hadin. If there was a Beis HaMikdash and there was a Sanhedrin and they would kill the woman with the baby inside, so Bizman Hazeh, even though the woman's not going to be killed, but there's no harm, there's nothing wrong with the mother with killing the baby, with doing an abortion. It's a dead creature. She's meant to die. If she is pregnant, if she admits she willingly was mezane, she's chayiv misa for what she has done. The baby is considered to be done. Therefore, even though we can't kill her, but we can kill the baby. Umutur v'gam mitzvah. Look how far he goes. The mitzvah that she should have a miscarriage, that she should have an abortion. Lahapiloi. Av shemizvan hazeh ein lanu sanhedrin. The av dina shal isha loy gamu v'lo yigmur lemisa. Even though there's no gemar din lemisa. V'gam loy hisnu, but they never warned her. Mikol makom da yaveit says mikol. Din dalid misos loy butlu. Now that's all fine and well when it comes to a woman who is an eshes ish and the child talker is a mamzer. But the yaveit Rav Yaakov then says amdam bepnuy. But the woman is a pnuy. She's not married. She's a single woman and she's carrying a child out of wedlock. You're not allowed to have an abortion. A woman who's pregnant out of wedlock is not allowed to carry bepnuya shezinsa v'nisarba also lahashchis esaluba shalok. She's not a chayev misa. The male of the baby is called a bar kayama. V'im kein kol shkein shosu lahashchis es uber. B'shut ra'apol.
That's called a mamzer.
It's not a mamzer, exactly. But let's say she doesn't want to have a baby. It's not. He's not going to have such good yichus. He's not going to have. He's not going to have such a hard, easy time getting a shech. Yichus. What? Who's your father? The baby was born out of wedlock. It's not. It's not a very pleasant thing. So she wants to have an abortion. No. There's no excuse. The baby is no different than the biggest miyuchas in Klal Yisrael. There's no, you know, whatever heta you'll find for a regular abortion, you'll have to use to find Taman. You
no
cannot.
Yichas, that's all.
What?
That's no yichas.
No yichas. But it's not as when you cannot add to the equation in the Dayan's equation of should the fact that the baby is really bamis a bar katol because it's a mamzer. Next, b'shut rapolim nishal gam bezeh. Now, what the Yaveit says here is a shock. Is a shock to all Paiskin. And now he's going to show what everyone else says. He was asked exactly the Shiloh. A woman was Mizaneh. She was carrying a mamzer. And she wanted to have an abortion. And he quoted the Chavis Yor and he quoted the Yavetz. I'm not paskening. It's a big Shiloh. He didn't want to paskin. Rav Moshe says, "B'shut igus Moshe, herich lach like al hayayvitz." Rav Moshe disagrees. Rav Moshe holds the fact that a woman is carrying a mamzer is not an additional consideration to add into the equation of having an abortion. Whatever the issues are, but don't add to the equation the fact that the ubar, the fetus, is a mamzer. That is not an issue. If you're not allowed to have an abortion, you're not allowed to have an abortion. This cannot be, they cannot contribute. The chosaf umamish devorim betelim heim. That what af shekosav ze odom gadol ke hariavatz the yavetz. Even though he says this, it's devarim betelim. The words are nonsense. Completely ignore what he says. Ki kol chayve misois afilu oyver avodazor machal shabbos b'halarayis be'edim v'hashro gemura v'gam kvar bo dina lufnei asanhedrin v'noite lohem adin shechayve misa mikol mokum kozman shli amra psak din. As even if we are absolutely certain that a person is chayve misa for an aver that he has committed, whether it's avodazor gilavay shechastamim, until Bezdin opens, Bezdin issues a formal psak halacha that yichayev misa, a psak din shechayev misa b'fon of davka ubo odom acher v'harago nerag olav kaharig odom sholem sholeichata me'olam. If a person has committed, murdered, a serial murderer with edim of a hasra, and but Bezdin has not yet come along and said yichayev misa, and someone else comes and takes the law into his own hands after sentencing, yeah, but before sentencing, a person is a serial murderer. Witnesses that the person did every avera in the book. Okay, let's see, all three. They have witnesses. He did Avodah Zarah, Gilavayah, Shfichas Damim. And Bezdin is they're deliberating. They're about to issue the Psak Halacha. And someone else in the meantime comes along and takes the law into his own hand and murders the defendant. The one that took the law into his own hands is Chayiv Misa. The killing of Bar Kayama. Because Bezdin did not yet issue the Psak Halacha. So it's no different. It's no different. This ubar, this mamzer that's in the fetus, that's in the mother's womb, eino chinami, it's a bar katola, eino chinami, it's a mamzer, eino chinami, the mother will be chayav misa. It's the greatest testimony, it's the greatest proof that she did the avera, but there is no bezdin bizman hazeh that is mechayev din misas bezdin. The male of the ubar is a bar kayama. A bar kayama, to abort the baby, it's ritzicha. It's ritzicha to abort the baby. It's the Gemar Din. That's Mechayv the Misa. The Koydim Lachain Av Shekvar Noida Shedas Asanhedrin Noida Lachayv. Even though we know what they're going to pass, the Misa who are Adayin Kipoto Lagarmi Lachol Dine HaTorah Ayin Shon. So there, Moshe. Rashi says, halacha lemaisa, you're not allowed to have an abortion just because the baby is a mamzer, just because she willingly confesses that she was mezaneh b'ratzon, it does not make a difference. The Minchas Kenos, he had one last point he makes, the Minchas Kenos, Higshal Hayave, so he has the same question the Yavis of Moshe, Yimashe Kosva, Taisis Mesugin, Jain Mashkin, Buberis, Ad Shetelaid, Kidei Shaloi Lohomis, Esavladi, he has the question, what do you mean? It's not so simple. How could the Yavit say that you're allowed to have an abortion, but the Gum Taisvah says that indeed if the woman is a Muberes, this is what it says in Taisvah, if the woman is a Muberes, he says, you do wait. Even though it says in the Pasuk, this week's Parsha, Hotzi'uha, Desisareif, yet the Halacha is if a sota is pregnant, Taisvah says, She'ein mashkin Muberes, ad she'tele k'desh lo lohamis esavlat. Ulchayra haloi im he zinsa harehi mechayeves misa bein bedine shemaim vehavlad yerechimahu v'imkain yeh af mutar lahariges avlad. So he asks the kasha. You see from Tosfos. Tosfos says that Yutaka don't. You don't kill the mother is pregnant. You wait. You don't kill the. You don't kill the mother until you don't give her to drink until the baby is born. Ulam, okay, jump down just one more paragraph. Ulam, so he goes on to answer what the Yavetz, this is an important point. It comes to answer what the Yavetz means. This is a very big yisoid. This is yisoid halacha. It's a very big yisoid halacha. Ulam yesh shehiro shayavetz lekasav ela shehi beatzma muteres lohamis atzma oi atzma. Oy havlad, she can kill herself or the vlad. Shuchelak minena, the ain of the chlal mamet atzma ledas, because she knows where she's chayif. Avol ze poshet shebiyad habezdin osur lahamisa b'lo edin lehasru lehasra v'hu adin laharoyik havlad b'chinam. So he introduced something here, a very important yisoid. You have to recalibrate the question. The question is not can someone else do the abortion. The question is, can she herself, for someone else to go to a clinic and sit down or lie down and have a doctor or have someone else do it, so they and the they're doing something that's ritzicha. Just because she tells you that I've done an avera, she's not chayef. But there's another issue, a person can do it to himself. Because the person himself knows that he's guilty. So it's for Bezdin to kill a person, or for another person to kill a person, that is Rav Moshe's correct. Rav Moshe is on the mark, until Bezdin, no one has a right to it. But there's a new concept in halacha, if a person does an avera, for which he's chayiv misa, he did avodah zarah gilarei shvich hastamim, and he wants to commit suicide. Will he, as an atonement for doing the avera? So this is a new dilemma. Is that nichlal in what Rav Moshe says? Rav Moshe says, until Bezdin passes, you're chayiv misa, you're not chayiv misa. Yeah, you're not chayiv misa, you're not a bar katola for someone else.
But the time delay between until pshat takes place? Rav Moshe seems to imply that there's a lengthy time period.
No, whenever it is, it doesn't matter. Whenever it is, it's not going to happen because there is no bezdin. But it means until there's a psak bezdin, according to Rav Moshe, no one else has the right to take that person's life. But this is a new dilemma. What about taking your own life? If a person knows as a fact that he has done an avera for which is chayiv misa, he knows what he has done, and if he will take his life as a source of kapara, because this is what the Torah demands. Will he in the next world be guilty of taking the lie? His taking ibn atzma ladas. So this appears to be a very big debate. Maybe yeah, maybe not. And the Yavit seems to be saying, we're coming to be miyash of the words of the Yavit, because the Yavit is a pella, what the Yavit says. So it seems that according to the Yavit, that a person will not be chayiv ma'abed atzma ladas when a person knows for a fact that he has done aver, which is chayiv misa. The same way for himself, it's not ma'abed atzma ladas, that extends to the Uber. The Uber is also Uber Yerachim, it's also a Bar Katola, she was Mizane. So therefore, if she can do something to herself, obviously in the very early state of pregnancy, where she can drink something, some potent, where she will induce the
killing somebody else when she does it.
It's not
she's
someone else.
On a suicide mission.
Yeah, so she's killing her.
What? Killing the baby.
The devi is a considered herself. That's the chiddush. Yeah, the devi is ubar yerachimo. The ubar is considered part of herself. For someone else to kill the baby, it's considered someone else. But for she herself, that's what the yavit seems to be saying. Halacha l'maisa, it's not accepted. Halacha l'maisa, she can't do it. Obviously, that's what Moshe says. But we're trying at least to be miyashev. Where's the yavit coming from? And the answer to that is, there's a concept that even though Bezin, someone else can kill you, but you can take your own life. Not, I know you could, but maybe you shouldn't, but at least the severity of the sin of being ma'avid atzmo l'das is reduced when a person is aware that he has done an aver.
It seems like when the baby is threatening the mother, we call him
the rabbi. Well, not, the baby is not threatening the mother, right. But the baby
you
is a product
between the mother and the baby. Here you're saying that the woman is insane.
Yeah, that's what the Yavetz is saying. The Yavetz is saying that the Ubar Yerech Imai. So the Yavetz says, the Yavetz was asked this question. That's what he says. The Yavetz holds Ubar Yerech Imo. The Ubar is an extension of myself. And I want to take, I'm not going to take my own life for whatever reason. I want to take the life of that. I don't want to bring into this world the baby that's a mamzer. Do I have the right to do so? No one else has the right to do it. But if you want to do it yourself with no one else participating, the Yavetz is saying that you're within your right and then you should. He says it's a mitzvah to do so.
Yes,
to the Ivets. Rav Moshe says, shocking thing to say.
Double there, I say, because Rabbi Feinstein, there is no crack or crook. Well said, very well said, very well learned, perhaps.
Okay, we'll stop over here.